Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting live on network radio.
So turn off your television set, turn them off now, turn them off and leave them off.
Sit on your butt, meditate, and will what you want to happen in the universe. And I meditated a couple of times, but I never really felt that was going to do anything. I think for the critical thinkers, the actual intelligent and the awake, and not saying that I'm more intelligent than anybody else, but it seemed like a little horseshit. I just didn't feel it was doing anything in my soul. I am a soul, but I didn't feel I felt the energy was misplaced. So that's what I started saying to people, like the light workers and light warriors. Don't get me wrong, I met a lot of good-intentioned people, honorable people.
Sure.
But all I could think was, you're trying to manifest this just through your thought and thinking it's magically going to happen without actual action. And when I listened to one of your seminars there where you're talking about thought through to action, it really spoke to me. Because I see so many people, honorable people, sovereigns like myself, free men, and just regular, you know, yoga type people and whatnot. They're sitting, they're doing nothing, manifesting things, or filing a load of paperwork and still giving energy to the same system that we're fighting. And when I listen to your seminars and where you had the experience with the Church of Satan and whatnot, it just spoke to me. And it's made me personally do a 180 on everything that I'm doing.
Yes, and it's certainly not to say that there is no proper usage for meditation. There is an accurate and proper methodology to use meditation and yoga and all these other spiritual practices for. The problem comes in with the...
Oh, yeah, I've used the chakra itself, so...
Sure. But the problem to this comes in when it's used in an imbalanced way and it's used in a deceptive way. These are what I call the abuses of spiritual practices. And meditation is definitely abused by many people, and it is taught to be used in a way that it was never intended to be used as. You know, the New Age movement as a whole, and when I say New Age movement, I just mean, I'm not talking about, you know, or the Age of Aquarius or anything like that. I'm just talking about, you know, alternative spiritual practices that aren't generally associated with any specific cultural religion. That's all I mean by that.
Sure.
The New Age movement in general out there has been, you know, promoting the usages of meditation and yoga to really act as a mechanism of taking people's minds off of all the negative things that are going on in the world and, you know, try to make them ignore the fact that really humanity is in a state of slavery, you know, to come out and just say it openly and plainly. That's the human condition. And if we don't understand that's the human condition, we're not really spiritually awake at all. And we certainly don't know and have not become truly aware of what our work is to do, because the work of the spiritual warriors that have incarnated on this planet at this time is to end human slavery. By all means, that is the absolute truth of what the warrior's path, if you want to just, you know, word it like that, that is what our path is. That is what our work is. We are here to end slavery. We are here to lead a rebellion on this planet against all forms of slavery. And the people that you're talking about, the so-called light warriors, the so-called light workers, et cetera, when they have abandoned the active masculine component, which is taking right action in the world, and they're not actually involved in doing anything and exposing the darkness of this world and telling the truth, no matter how uncomfortable or unpleasant it may be for people to hear. They have been taken off of their mission. They have been sidetracked, and their mission has been completely, put on the back burner in their consciousness, and they're often not even aware of that. You know, it's real easy for people
to notice positions
and meditate and say that we're going to just make the world better by thinking happy thoughts and, you know, and just changing ourselves within.
Yeah.
That's just the first step, folks. I'm not telling you those things aren't important to set an intention and to change yourself, you know. But if
like you said in your seminars, come within without, right?
That's right. It has to start inside. Then it has to. Then you have to direct that energy outside of yourself and influence others. You know, if you're just using these practices to make it easier for you to accept the current conditions in the world, there's nothing spiritual in that. If those conditions are slavery and duress, you know, that shouldn't be accepted. You know, so this New Age notion of just accept everything as it is bunk. It's nonsense. You know, you need to understand what you're not capable of changing, which is natural law, the laws that govern the consequences of behavior that are set by creation, and there are boundary conditions for the consequences of behavior. Those things cannot be changed. They are extant. They exist in the universe. They're not made by humanity. They are universal. They exist everywhere, and they are immutable. They cannot be changed. That's what natural law is. And then there are things that should be changed. When you have a situation of slavery and violence operating all around you, that certainly should be changed. And, yeah, is that a judgment decision? Is that a judgment call? You better believe that it is. It's a judgment. It's discernment. It's a judgment that has been arrived at through discernment. And that discernment is the understanding of the objective difference between right and wrong behavior. And this is another thing the New Age movement wants to blur, or state doesn't exist at all. Objective truth and objective right and wrong. You know, they want to tell you, oh, it's all relative, you know. And again, this whole technique for what this New Age, these New Age religions are all about is, I call it the religion of standing down, to get people to stand down and not take real world action in their lives. Okay, that's what this whole religion is for. And it's been very successful. Like I said, many spiritual warriors have been completely taken off of their path and their mission in life. And, you know, people will also come back and, you know, challenge this, and they'll say, well, Mark, what you're actually saying then essentially is the spiritual mission for one is the same as for one person. Is the same as the spiritual mission for everybody. You're trying to tell us that we all have the same mission here. Exactly. That's exactly what I'm saying. As extreme as that sounds, we are here to do the same task. My task is no different from your task, Will, and it's no different from any of the listeners' task out there. Because here's my question. What being that is witnessing slavery take place among them should not make it their mission to end that condition? That's my question to anyone out there listening who's saying, oh, that's not my mission. Well, if not yours, whose mission is it? You know? And how could you say that?
Well, you allow
not one particular person's mission in general. You know? That's everyone's mission to be a part of that work. That is what the great work is. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's what I said to a lot of what I try and say to, especially since hearing you, and my message to all of my followers and people that subscribe to my Facebook, if you truly want to stand in honor and you call yourself a truther, conspiracy theorist, whatever, why are you in this? If you're not in it for truth and have us return to a state of honor, I see a lot of truthers now, that are, especially the younger ones that are coming in, and this story and that story, but they still don't have an open mind. And when I talk to them about your stuff, they're like, oh no, the Illuminati, they're completely evil and blah, 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 blah. but they don't even know what the word means.
Yeah,
they don't know
they
what
don't
money
to,
means.
They don't want to take their own.
They don't understand the Latin definitions.
They take responsibility. Simple as that.
The responsibility that they have for their contributing part in this. People want to always point the finger at others and say, oh, it's just, it's all that person's fault or that group's fault. It's actually humanity's fault. Humanity is to blame for what's going on. We are doing this to ourselves, ultimately, at the ultimate level, through our complicity in the way that we have been conditioned to live. That's it.
Through laziness.
We don't want
to
change. The
wanting of the... So I'll just take a second here and introduce you to my co-host there, Sam. Sam, that's Mark. Mark,
Hi, Sam.
That's Sam.
Hi. Pleasure to talk to you. I've been
talking here
for Will announced it.
Oh, absolutely. My pleasure. You know, it is really all about personal responsibility. You know, people think that somehow we can magically wish for a changed set of conditions while all the time doing the same thing that we have been doing that have led to the conditions that we say we don't want. You know, if there's conditions present...
Expecting a different result.
Yeah. And what's that the definition of? Somebody being crazy and insane. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just saying it's the definition of insanity. I mean, any academic knows it. Anybody who has any sort of critical thinking knows it. Anybody, like, I mean, it's pretty basic, common, and straightforward. But
right.
When you try and apply it to actual life, it's like it's you live it, but you sit there and say that it's not a thing.
See, I think it's part of humanity's inability, once again, to get down to the causal factors. You know, they're looking at the symptoms, and they've been conditioned to look at the symptoms. You know, so they can, you know, people in the truth movement, they could tell you all about the Federal Reserve. They could tell you all about the left-right, you know, paradigm illusion. But, you know, when you say, well, why is it this way? They can't get down to what led to that condition. Because, you know, a lot of these people will say that they want certain conditions to be present. You'll say, well, what do you really want? You know, that's the real question of the law of attraction, isn't it? It's what do you want? What do you want to be present? And they're able to answer that, right? They'll say, well, I want freedom. I want peace. I want prosperity. I want, you know, any of the other things that we say that we want in life. You know, I want maybe even knowledge or maybe even, justice and harmony, you know, among people, among humankind. And all those things are wonderful, and that's what we should want, okay? But then when you ask them the question, well, is that what we really have now, right now? Do we have that in its fullness as a species? Is that condition present? And, you know, most of them wouldn't agree. They'll say, no, it's not. That's why, you know, we're activists, or that's why we're involved in trying to, you know, expose that isn't the condition. And then you say, well, if that's not present, right, if those conditions aren't present right now, since human beings right now as a species in aggregate numbers, don't already have all those things that they say that they want, that they claim to want, then think about it just from a purely logical perspective for a moment, right? Are there requirements for those conditions to manifest, or do they just manifest magically? Do you just suddenly state, I want these things to be present even though they are not present now, and then magically the universe pops forward and says, oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't aware, I didn't realize you didn't want this, let me give you this instead immediately. You can continue to do what you've been doing, but here's that different condition that you say you want. Well, things don't work like that. I mean, anybody that's just being honest with themselves should recognize it can't work like that. If you're doing the same thing, you're going to get the same result. Unless you actually do something different, then the manifested reality cannot be different. That's why action is required. And then people will say, well, what's the solution? You know, you're not giving us a specific solution. And I tell people natural law, the understanding of natural law is the solution. Because when you understand it at a deep fundamental level, the solution actually lies in the desistance of action, believe it or not, okay? It doesn't lie in any new actions that you need to start taking. The solution to the human condition of slavery actually lies in that the fact that human beings must take actions that they are currently taking. It is a negative pathway to the solution, and no one wants to hear that. That is the last thing anybody wants to hear, that, oh, my God, what you're telling us is that we have to stop doing the things that we are currently doing that is propping up this condition and keeping it in place. That's the last thing anybody wants to hear. That's the most frightening thing that you can tell anybody, because what lies on the opposite side of no longer doing what you've been doing is the unknown. The unknown. That's why it is
this
so
is what,
weird.
This is what I say always to everyone on my show is societal engineering. They've been at this for hundreds of years. They know their game. If you just think that you're going to find a simple solution, a quick push-button answer, that's what you've been societally engineered to want, to need, to expect. And it's not that simple.
That's right.
You have
no
to have the action behind your intention.
That's right. No instant gratification in this solution. You're absolutely right. Yeah, go ahead.
I think it's the big thing is, obviously, is reaching everybody. And this is what we're trying to do with the alternative media, right? Which I think you're doing a great job of. I can't believe I didn't hear about you before I did. I think reaching out. What do you think about things, programs like putting on placards, putting on leaflets, and getting people that follow us to deliver it to houses in their neighborhood?
Hey, put it out
it's
there.
Putting in a problem I see.
Give people a little pamphlet or business card with the website on it. You know, every little thing that you could do to put some form of awareness into somebody's site helps. You know, even if you just keep giving them that
for example,
over and over again. Definitely.
For example, I have the owner of the taxi company that I use.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his wife are listening right now. And hello, if you're listening. I'll name their names. Or they're going to tune in tomorrow. And they've never heard of any of this. They go to the Catholic Church. My baby. They go to the Catholic Church. And they've never heard of any of this. Because they listen to mainstream news and that's it.
Sure.
I always say to all of our networks is you can afford $20 to tune into podcasts or try and get the quick fix answer to your free man issues, your court issues, blah, 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 blah. You're willing to donate to like beanclicker.info, blah, blah, blah. Take this information, go to Mark Passio's website, download the information, put it on a couple of flyers. Things like
put it on some DVDs or thumb drives or USB thumb drives and give it to people. You know, it's all out there for free.
Exactly.
There's nothing for sale on my website. You go up to my site, whatonearthishappening.com. There's nothing for sale up there. You can't find anything for sale because there is nothing for sale up there. I put all this information out for free. You know, because it doesn't belong.
That's what moved me against about you too.
To me or anyone else. It's our shared human birthright. To go back briefly to what are these, you know, we say we want all these conditions, but there's requirements to creating those conditions. You know, they don't just magically, automatically manifest. And then, you know, you tell people that, and it makes sense to them. You know, they generally won't argue with that, right? You know, you want something to be different than it is now. Aren't there requirements? Well, hey, you know, let's say your kitchen table is horribly dirty after, like, you know, maybe your whole family just sat at it and ate and, you know, spilled some food and drink and, you know, that, you know, they had a great meal and had a good time and now the table's filthy dirty. Well, you know, you clear the table, You know, if you want that table to be in a different condition than it is right now, do requirements exist? Most certainly they do. That means you have to do some work to clean up that table by whatever method you're going to clean it up, whether it be paper towels or, you know, a kitchen towel or, you know, with some water and soap. You're going to have to apply, you know, some force to get that done and clean it all up and then dry it off. And now your table's back in a nice, clean condition and you can eat a future meal at it again. But if you didn't do that thing, would it be logical to assume you're going to walk back in the kitchen the next day after not having done that and nobody did it the whole night, you know, and you walk there and get ready to go and eat breakfast in the morning? Are you going to magically assume that the table is going to be clean? Or do you think it's going to be in the same condition, if not a worse condition, because more bacteria and possibly mold and maybe bugs may have gathered? It's going to be in a worse condition if you don't address it when you need to clean it. And this is what humanity believes. We ignorantly believe that the condition can somehow magically change itself, and we've done the exact same thing. We aren't doing anything different. We're not applying our will to change the condition, and then magically somehow it can change on its own. Now, here's the problem. If you did not know how to clean a table, okay, if that knowledge just were not present in your mind, and you were looking at a towel like, oh, my God, what is this? You were looking at soap, you know, at I don't know how to use this thing, this, you know, seemingly organic bar here. What is this? You know, if you had no clue what a towel or soap or wash rags or paper towels or whatever, you had no idea of the methodology to clean a table, and nobody there did. Once again, are you just magically going to clean the table? Is it just going to magically manifest? No, of course not. Knowledge is required. You have to know, here's what I have to do in order to get that clean. Okay? It's just such a simple, logical demystification. It almost sounds like so over the top, simplified, but nobody ever brings it down to this simple level. If knowledge of the requirements to obtaining the conditions that we say we want is not present, then how could those conditions magically manifest themselves? It can't. It's not possible. It will never happen. It not only will it never happen, it can never happen. And unfortunately, right now, okay, humanity is in the position where that knowledge actually is present, but it is willfully being ignored. Let me just say that again. The knowledge of how humanity can actually reverse the condition of human slavery and free itself, okay, is present on the earth. It is no longer occulted. And as a result, ladies and gentlemen, you are living in what I call post-apocalyptic times. The apocalypse has already occurred. Surprise, surprise, surprise. Did you hear about it? Some of us did. Some of us are paying attention.
That's the lifting of the veil of knowledge.
That's what it is. It means an uncovering, a revealing. What's the other name for the biblical book called the Apocalypse? Revelation. Because in the Greek language, apocalypse means to remove that which has been veiling something, to unveil it or to reveal what is underneath that has formerly been hidden from our sight. It comes from two Greek words. Apo is a prefix in Greek, which means off of or away from. And then, so when you tack that onto a word, it means off of or away from that thing that you're tacking it onto. So you put apo onto the Greek verb kaliptein, which is where apocalypse comes from. And kaliptein as a verb in the Greek, ancient Greek language, means to veil from sight or to hide or to conceal, similar to what occultare meant in Latin, in ancient Latin. So when we put apo in front of it, it means to go away from the state of having been hidden or concealed, meaning you have revealed the truth. That's what a revelation is, or an apocalypse is the revealing of truth. Well, the truth about the human condition has already been revealed. Surprise, surprise, ladies and gentlemen. Okay, it's already out there. The knowledge is actually out there. The role that the media plays And the role that these occultists play is to dissuade you from ever looking into that body of knowledge. And therefore, they call it the occult and say that that's evil or it's bad. And what here's what it comes down to. This knowledge, right, which constitutes the knowledge I'm talking about, the hidden knowledge I'm talking about, constitutes the understanding of the requirements that are necessary to be put into effect to change the human condition. That is what is being occulted from people. And again, the methodology of occultation, of hiding in the modern world, is no longer trying to sanitize that information from the earth or all hoard it in one place and physically keep it away from others. That's over. That can't be done anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You have digital media that is at your fingertips called the internet, okay, that you can bring in knowledge about just about anything that you want in a heartbeat. So the controllers of the world cannot control information that way anymore by physically trying to keep it back from other people. So what do they do? What is their new methodology?
Yeah, like Hillary Clinton said in 2011, they're losing the propaganda war.
Yeah, they're losing that war because they can no longer stop.
They're openly admitting that.
Right. They can no longer stop people from looking into that which we desire to look into. Now, what do they have to do? What they have to do is they have to get you to not want that knowledge. They have to influence you to not want to take that knowledge into yourself. Okay? Now, how do they do that? Well, they do it through a couple of mechanisms. They tell you either that there's nothing to that information and it should not be looked into because it is meaningless. It's superfluous. It's trivial.
Yeah, don't believe everything you hear on the internet.
Right. That's method number one. Method number two is they tell you it's bad and evil because that's what they have conditioned you through endless repetition, endlessly repeating the same thing over and over and over and over and over again throughout centuries of conditioning of the word occult means evil or bad. And just do a social experiment on the street corner. Out of 50 people that walk by, ask them, what do you think the word occult means? And almost universally, everybody will tell you, I think that means bad, evil, satanic, you know, voodoo, whatever. Okay, they'll give you a million dark connotations of the word occult. But how many people actually really know that all the word occult means is hidden? So this knowledge, which constitutes the requirements to obtaining the conditions that we say we want, okay? If things aren't changing, then we have to conclude one of two things. Either that knowledge is completely absent and no one has it and it's not present at all, and we've already established that is not the case, or if it is present, then that knowledge must willfully and actively, deliberately being ignored by humanity. Because they've been dissuaded from looking into it by these covert mind control methodologies. And for as long as that knowledge continues to remain ignored, the manifestation of the conditions that we say we want is impossible. And the manifestation of the conditions that we say we do not want will continue unabated and unchecked for as long as we refuse that information. Get used to the condition of slavery for as long as you will not take in the knowledge of the occult that has been de-occulted, the hidden knowledge that the controllers use to keep you enslaved, and it has been de-occulted, okay? For as long as you refuse to take that knowledge into yourself and deeply incorporate it and deeply understand it and then begin to act upon that knowledge, expect the chains of bondage in perpetuity, forever. Okay? So then the next question has to become to the listening audience. What is that knowledge? What is this hidden knowledge that you are talking about, that you're calling the occult? Okay? And the next logical question after that is, why is it hidden? So we have to answer those two questions. What is the occult and why is this occult knowledge hidden from people's view, from their understanding? Well, occult knowledge constitutes two major bodies of information. two major bodies of information. And I want to make this absolutely clear to the listening audience. When I am talking about this, I'm not, it's not a belief system. Okay? I'm not telling you that I believe I know what constitutes the knowledge of the occult. I'm not saying it's my belief. I'm telling you definitively and factually, I do know absolutely what constitutes occult knowledge. Okay? From firsthand perspective and firsthand awareness of having worked with occultists in my past, I know what constitutes this knowledge that they have been trying to dissuade people from understanding for millennia.
Can I just jump in for 1 second quick there, Mark? Sorry to cut you off. We had a caller that already called in, and their microphone is coming through. We can either take the caller right away or get them to hit their microphone mute right away.
Sure.
Just so that...
Let's take them. Instead of letting them have to mute it, let's, you know, if that's okay with you guys.
Oh, yeah, perfect with me.
Don't make them wait.
And I can return to this line of thought afterwards.
Awesome. Well, we have a caller with the last three digits, 119. You're on air with Mark and Will, if you had a question.
Hey, how's it going? My name's Justin. I actually drove down to Philly like 2 months ago and actually had lunch with Mark or whatever. Just figured I'd come call and say hello.
Justin, how are you? How you doing, man?
Great, man. Real good, actually. I'm up to the, I think, the 46th podcast. I just went across. I just took pictures of all the sun symbols and the logos and everything. I'm going to run around my gym tomorrow and shove it down everyone's throat. Just for, you know, all that fun stuff. But, I got it on my phone. That's really what I do generally every day. Cool with that?
I said I'm sure they'll all find it very fascinating.
No, I've got a couple. That's actually I got a couple of people that listen. Like they're not like into it, like let's say I am, but their ears are definitely perked up to the point where it's just like at some point you have to admit to yourselves that clearly like this is more than a coincidence.
Sure.
Why would it be? So I kind of just do that between sets and everything.
Well, that's great.
But what I was going to ask you guys was basically I ran into a little bit of a situation. I think maybe you guys are very well aware of the technology stuff. Is one of my friends, right? Basically, he's a very close friend of mine, and it's basically about how, like, people want to deny everything and all that fun stuff. Like, basically what happened is he was in Japan during the whole Fukushima thing. He got married. He brought his wife back here and everything like that. He's a really good guy and everything. But basically, you know, I'm trying to let him know, like, hey, man, you know, maybe you and your wife might want to get checked out. You know, I'm pretty into politics, and I stay up on this stuff. And basically, like, you know, he kind of chums all this information. And again, so he's an intelligent person and everything. It's just kind of weird, but... What had happened was I explained to him like the whole Fukushima thing, and he just wants to write it off, telling me, like, I showed him the source that I got it from him. And then he basically, all these other sources, articles they covered, he showed how, like, this may or may not be true, and kind of tried to, like, snub it as if, well, this source isn't reliable. Later that night, I'm with him, and it comes on CNN, and I look at him, and I'm just like, so, what do you got to say about that now? And I'm like, well, he needs to hear this information from, you know? So he puts his head down and says, he goes, give me a sec, you know, which was right there, which is kind of like, what? And he looks up and he goes, someone that I respect. And I don't think he was trying to insult me, but he meant more along the lines of, you know, like somebody like some philosopher or something he's into.
Oh,
but
yeah,
it's just like,
an expert,
what do you do if they're not into
this? Don't you know the media are experts and what they're there for is to actually tell you all these data that you need to know them to make informed decisions? That's what their job is.
Absolutely.
So. Yeah.
Sure.
See, you know, what this dynamic...
I'm sorry, can I put this on speaker or is that big?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry, can I put my phone on speaker or is that no good?
Oh, the speakerphone's pretty terrible for the radio.
The way you're coming through,
okay, no problem. So, I'm sorry.
What this dynamic really comes down to is that these people don't want to acknowledge that they are being actively lied to. You know, the government of Japan was telling people, if you smile, the radiation will not affect you. They were actually telling people.
I'm all for positive intent, but...
Yeah, smile.
I mean, I'm looking forward to Godzilla movie, but I mean, that's
just
kind
of... reactor disaster could possibly affect your physiology if you walk around with a smile on your face. Don't you know?
They said, wow, that's I never heard
and
that.
And this is the kind of stuff... that people are actually willing to accept and believe because it's coming from somebody I trust that has my interest in mind. here's what it is, and here's what, you know, you can't really baby people like this, right? And my tact,
no, also, I like you.
My
you're
tact is not
brutal, but you're not sugarcoating me.
Yeah, exactly. My tact is not going to be a new age tact, okay, by any stretch of the imagination. You know what you have to say to the person? How naive could you possibly be, sir? How old are you? Are you some sort of a responsible adult that can think for themselves, that you actually believe these psychopathic lunatics are trying to tell you anything that remotely resembles the truth? You know?
Sure.
That's how you have to say it to these people, because they need to be snapped out of this trance. You know, they actually are walking around thinking that the government and the media is somehow on the side of the people, trying to keep them informed, when in fact it's the exact opposite way. The government and the media is trying to keep people as dumb and uninformed as possible so that they can continue to keep them in a state of slavery. And that's, you got to just say
it
just like that to the person. You cannot.
No, dude, it's so sick. This is kind of what I do. Like I said, you clearly have much more knowledge than I do. But again, it's the same ideas and whatnot. But here's something I threw at somebody the other day. And again, they couldn't really respond to this or whatever. But I basically brought up about how this is between sex, whatever. So I'm thinking, and they talk about, what is this stuff called? The airport security, the TSA, the safety, they're groping kids' genitals, and they're doing this all in the name of safety, for your safety. But then how come they don't have parachutes on the airplane, you know? When you think about it, like, it's just, like, you know, and then I say millions of people on it.
For all those methods, but, you know,
you can't have a parachute
for every person on board. Yeah, right, yeah. Just think about the logic of that.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah, right, right.
I'm sorry?
Here's what I say to people. All you have to do is apply a little bit of logic to the situation, and if you have any ability to reason and come out on the other side with a logical conclusion, you'll see the truth for what it is. And Justin, my best advice that I can give is the way I handle this situation, I don't bang my head up against a wall trying to convince them of all the minutiae and the details. What I do is I unapologetically state the exact way that it is and walk away and say, you don't want to listen to that? Then suffer. That's it. That's how I do it.
Yeah.
That's how I do it with people. Okay, I tell them unapologetically the truth, not the truth as I see it or the truth as they might see it, the truth, period, as I have come to understand it by studying what is going on, period. And if you tell them that and stand in that power of truth and you say it to them unapologetically, here's what I'm going to tell you this because I care about whether you suffer or not, okay? And I'm going to say it just the way it is, at the risk of completely offending you, but you know what? You may never hear it just like this out of another person's mouth, but it's going to leave my mouth.
No, that's why I started listening.
Yeah, it's going to enter your ears, and you cannot ever unhear that. That's what it's
As soon as I started looking at your videos on the internet, I was like, wow, finally someone that's not lying, you know? Like, it's really hard to come by because I've been into the political game. I've known about all that stuff for a long time. I'm pretty knowledgeable about it. I'd actually like to run for office myself one day. Whether or not that'll happen or not, who knows? But I knew there was a piece missing, and that was the big question is, you know, like, how did this happen? Like, how did it get this way? Where's all the history, you know? Like, it's so crazy, you know what I mean? And, and that's what I said. Like, I watched all your YouTube videos and stuff. Like, oh, this is great, finally. And now I'm going through a little podcast and whatnot, filling all the blanks.
Well, just keep it
so
up.
So thank
man.
You for that. Seriously, man. It's great. No, I'm on the way, man. Trust me. Like, I want to be an alchemist. Like, this shit's awesome.
You have to apply your own will. That's it.
Cut in there for a second.
Yeah, sure.
Here's what I say to people when I'm doing my awakening work is you're obviously listening because you realize there's a fundamental problem.
Right.
Something in your life or something in the international scene, you realize that things don't, either spiritually, financially, whatever, they don't feel right. Things, they're not how they should be. So you're obviously here looking for information and maybe a possible solution. Now, if you're here doing that, if you're just going to close your mind and you can't be open-minded and receptive to new information, and then take that information. Don't listen to us. Go and research it for yourself.
Right.
But if all you want to do, and I say it, I've been on Stephen Harper's Facebook page, and the people are bitching and complaining about taxes and one thing or another, and I always post my tax poem there, and oh, blah, 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 blah. Well, you realize that there's a problem.
Right.
But if someone comes with a possible solution or a threat of information, and all you want to do is shut down because you don't believe that's the right way without researching it yourself, so that's the and this is where I agreed with Mark so much, and what you do, Mark, resonates with me so much, is I think the fundamental travesty of humanity at present is the lack of knowledge.
That's right.
And the lack of going after knowledge.
And this is why we become
so complacent and push-button answers and
right.
quick fixes and being handed the information that we need from, we won't get into it, media, government, friends, word of mouth, whatever.
Right. And Will, this is why when
the journey that I've taken myself in the last 3 years, 16 hours a day, not so much in the last 6 months, but to a year to my baby, but they could never have gotten away with all this stuff 100 years ago because the people are informed. They didn't have all the distractions.
And see, when it comes to that role of knowledge, you know, that's all important. That's everything. And it's why there's so many institutions that are trying to stress a de-emphasis on knowledge. Religious institutions, New Age institutions, okay? They don't want people informed. They don't want people knowledgeable. Knowledge is the potential for power. It's not power in and of itself. It has to be applied. Then it gets converted into actual power, the ability to change things when it's applied. So, you know, to people who are real resistant, I take a firm stance, okay? I don't back down and say, oh, I'm just going to let you think the way that you think or not, and completely unchallenged and not respond. I respond, okay? Most people just, you know, if they're encountering a situation like that, they get a little timid, they get a little afraid, and then they back off. That's the wrong way to go about it. Okay. What I tell people is, I was just like you. As a matter of fact, I was way worse. In my level of ignorance, way back when I was younger, I was suffering even worse than how you are suffering now because you don't have the knowledge of what to do differently. And it almost killed me. When I took the knowledge of the right ways to be in this world in, I stopped suffering. I no longer experience self-inflicted suffering. Now, that doesn't mean I'm not suffering at all. I stopped suffering due to self-inflicted causes, is what I tell people. That doesn't mean I'm not suffering, because as long as there's other people who are still in ignorance and therefore still suffering, well, I'm still suffering by extension, because we are not separate. You know, separation is an illusion. But I tell people,
so, Mark,
I was just like you. I was actually worse. I was in a worse situation of ignorance. And that led to nothing but suffering for me until I said, you know what? What I'm doing cannot lead to the cessation of this suffering. What I'm doing right now is the causal factor for why I'm suffering. Sometimes people understand. Sometimes people get it and hear what I'm saying. If they have a little bit of open-mindedness and open-heartedness left in them and they haven't been completely brainwashed, sometimes they can hear the wisdom in what I'm trying to explain to them. You know, and I say, when I recognize those behaviors were the causal factors of my self-inflicted suffering, and then I reverse them and I stop doing those things, no more self-inflicted suffering. I'm not the cause of my suffering anymore. Most people are the cause of their own suffering still, okay? now my job, once I've worked upon myself and I'm no longer creating self-inflicted suffering, now I can explain to other people, here's how you accomplish not creating that suffering anymore, by what you have to stop doing, and then you have to start doing different things at some point. And again, that's the real law of attraction. And the knowledge of the occult constitutes the knowledge of the real laws of attraction. Because what that knowledge is, to take this full circle and go back to what occulted knowledge really constitutes, is it is the knowledge of how human consciousness works, first and foremost. That's what occulted knowledge is actually. I explain it to people as it's deep ancient psychology, very deep, very ancient psychology. It's all of the ways that the human mind, the psyche, operates, our deep-seated motivations, what's going on in the conscious and subconscious minds, okay? The things that drive us, our desires, our wants, our needs, etc. Everything about how a human being works and operates. Now, how powerful is that? How much could you accomplish with the knowledge of how people's mind works? If you have that and they don't have it, what kind of a number could you do on those who are ignorant of that information? You know, there's a recent show, a television show that has just come out, where I believe that the makers or the writers of the show are trying to explain to people what one of the huge bodies of knowledge of the occult is. And the network canceled it. Of course, that's what always happens when, you know, people are trying to really inform, especially people in Hollywood are trying to...
Just like the weather modification about 15 years ago.
Yep. So, you know...
So I came on the news and...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
So 12, 15 years ago, a guy, I can't remember if it was on the news or one thing or another, but he came on and said he could manipulate the weather.
Yep.
The show never aired.
Yep. Not surprising.
Same thing with free energy, and I know you've done that with Tesla. And
this new recent television show I'm talking about was called Mind Games, and a very appropriate title. And I think only 5 episodes aired, and then they canceled it with prejudice before even the middle of the first season. Now think about that. What network does that? What network commits? And they were saying, oh, it was because of bad ratings. It wasn't because of bad ratings, folks. You look at the amount of downloads this show was getting online. It was very popular. Okay?
It's the same thing with the TV series that was there. Do you remember the TV series that came out? I don't remember when I stopped watching TV myself, a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. But Touch, the autistic child?
I'm not familiar with
understanding
it.
The universe through numbers and...
Interesting.
Causal factors and stuff.
And was this also canceled early?
Yeah,
that's usually
it had,
what happens when there's a good allegorical show. Or
I don't follow stars and stuff, but their names. But what was his name? He was the star of 24.
Mm-hmm.
Famous actor, anyway. And so there was no reason for it to be canceled. And we downloaded the last few seasons.
The reason I brought this show, Mind Games, up is because the premise is actually all about the occult. The premise is a group of people that are working with very advanced psychologists, okay, are trying to get people to hire them as a group to affect outcomes in their lives by going to a person that they are going to interact with and change their minds about something that could affect the other individual or group. So, like, let me just briefly lay out an example. I think in the first show, a mother and her son come to this group of people who are working with these really advanced psychologists. And the son has a heart condition, and, you know, he needs an experimental operation, but this board of directors at this hospital won't approve the operation because it's very expensive, this experimental surgery that could help this boy. So they go to this team, and the team tries to influence the mindset through their knowledge of psychology, not directly doing something to him, but indirectly playing on this guy's mind, okay, to influence him to see himself in a certain way such that he will approve the surgery. This guy who sits on this director's, board of directors at this hospital. And they successfully accomplish it. So that's what the occult is, folks. That's what the occult is. It is deep knowledge, deep hidden knowledge of psychology, of how the human mind operates. That's the first body of occult knowledge. It's more than that, but that's a huge part of what constitutes occultic knowledge. You could look at it as ancient psychological knowledge of how the human mind as a whole operates. And if you have that knowledge and other people don't have it, you can do a number on them. And that's what they were trying to explain with this show.
That's the whole thing.
These networks said this can't stay. This cannot stand. This has to go. You know the higher ups at that network were saying we can't have this out on the airwaves and people being knowledgeable about how this dynamic functions. No way.
Well, this is what I say all the time to my listeners and my Facebook people. And why do you think you are where you are? It's the absence of knowledge. They go, all conspiracy theories, blah, 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 blah. Well, how do you think that the elites or globalists, whatever you want to call them, how do you think they are where they are?
That's it.
How do you think they're there and they stay there?
That's it.
How do you think they have power over you? How do you think they have control of their economies, the Rothschilds, the Zionists, the Israelis, the UN, whatever. Whatever spin you want to put on it. How do you think they are there? Because they have knowledge that you don't. So what is the logical cause of action?
Become knowledgeable.
Knowledge.
And then the playing field gets leveled. And unfortunately, we're still in a situation where the vast majority of human beings are 100% completely ignorant. Ignorant. See, it's not because the knowledge isn't out there. Again, it's because they're willfully ignoring it. Because with knowledge comes personal responsibility to take right action and change the current condition of slavery. And people don't want to do that.
They
have to get involved and do something.
It also requires, taking a lot of time out of your day. Because recently, I just got TV because we got cheaper internet with our TV. And, I haven't had TV in 4 years. The only reason I got TV is because they offered me a package deal so that my internet was, $30 cheaper or something. My internet, my phone. And I turn on the TV, and about 20 minutes in, it's just, it's difficult, I don't know, I blew my mind because there was one commercial where these cops literally, it was SWAT team, they busted into this house with this woman and this man sleeping in bed. They were about to make love or whatever, busted in this house, and they're like, oh, well, you should have got a realtor because if you try and buy a house by yourself, there's all this stuff that could be hiding. And they make this huge joke about this warrantless arrest and all this stuff. And then the next thing, they make a huge joke about not getting a lawyer. Oh, get a lawyer for this, get a lawyer for that. And then the next commercial, it's pharmaceuticals, pharmaceuticals. And then the next commercial, did this happen to you? Get a lawyer,
We're on these networks is what I call the paradigm protectors. The paradigm protectors. All the people who want to get you attached to this dead, decaying corpse called the way things have been. And they're there to just protect that paradigm of reality, which is a corpse, which is a decaying shell, that can't lead to anything possibly good except disease and more chaos and more degradation and more death. And these people want to tell you, no, these are the things that are good. These are the things that you need in your life, That's why... just get rid of it. It's not needed. Once you can see what they're doing, I tell people, only keep television service for as long as it takes for you to really deeply understand the mind control tactics and methodologies that they're wielding through this medium. Then get rid of it. After that, if you see it and you're actively aware of it, you don't need to expose yourself to that garbage form of consciousness anymore. Or I should say unconsciousness, because that's all it is. It's pure unconsciousness. It's sewage. It's sewage for the mind. If you feed the mind sewage, what do you expect to come out of it? More sewage. You know, it's a part of the purification process of mind, body, and spirit is getting off the poison information stream and getting onto a pure information stream. You don't need that info coming in. You know, put a small computer and plug it into your television. Get a television as a screen. You know, that's fine. Using it for that purpose, I have no problem with. Connect an HDMI cable or a DVI to HDMI cable from your computer to your television screen and then surf the net on the big screen. You know, watch a documentary. Go up to YouTube. Download a documentary. Go on BitTorrent. Grab some great documentaries. You know, grab some podcasts and play
them. See everybody?
That's how
what
you
I
use
did.
That technology.
Buy a big screen TV and use it as a computer screen.
That's it. That's what I have in my living room. We have no television service. I have a small computer connected directly to a 52-inch LCD TV, and it's connected to the Internet. And if I want to watch a documentary or listen to some podcast in the comfort of my living room, that's how I do it. But I have no television service.
My living room.
From the paradigm protectors and propaganda.
My living room is like in the old apartment. I'm just buying a house now to start the Solving Honor Farm pilot project. But my living room, many listeners know, bought a 42-inch big screen TV, and 2 months later I stopped watching TV.
Yep.
It's in my living room now at the new house. My computer is hooked up to it, and the wife's computer is right next to it on a smaller screen. And that's all I allow in my house is research. And if you want to watch The Walking Dead or something stupid like that, we download it, but it takes up about a couple of hours a day at the most. Right. The rest of the time is researching. I'll say, Mark, that just to your credit, Latin has been added to my one-year-old daughter's learning.
It's amazing when you understand the meaning of words, the real meaning of words. I tell people, you start looking into ancient languages and studying where English words came from, the top of your head's going to blow off when you understand that for the majority of our lives, we have not understood the actual origins of the words that we're speaking on a daily basis, where they came from and what their original intended meanings were. Yeah.
We've never been taught.
When it comes
ever.
To the...
I was just going to say, I mean, the fact, like, you know, recently, like, I've just been getting into the stuff recently, and, like, I mean, when, like, you know, listening to your stuff, Mark, and, like, talking to Will, and it's like, you know, I've heard of origin of words, but I was just like, you know, that shouldn't mean much, but it's, like, over this last month, just, like, kind of digging in, and it's just like, holy carp, is this, like, how are we not teaching this? Like, I mean, that just goes straight to the ignorance of knowledge, but it's like, if you actually know the word that you're using... Like, I mean, it changes everything. As we use the Webster's Dictionary and things like selfie and all this other sexting and stuff is being added to that. But it's like, you know, the whole concept that there's different languages and all, it all comes from one original language. It's like, what?
Mark, you're aware, and listeners are aware, my co-host, Sarah Sam, she's actually in the mainstream. She's in university right now, taking a psychology major. So
abnormal
psychology.
Abnormal psychology.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's very few schools that are teaching any of this from any kind of a deep perspective anymore. You know, it's very – the knowledge that we're
especially
getting – Latin. Yeah, exactly. The knowledge that we're getting coming in through the so-called educational system is so cursory. It's it lacks depth anymore. And, you know, that's because they don't want a country of learners. They don't want a country of knowledgeable people. They want a country of workers. You know, they want a country of people who will obey and carry out their orders and do what they're
told. If you want to quote George Carlin, they don't want a nation of critical thinkers.
That's it.
They want you to smart enough to run their machines.
That's right. Because developing a nation of people with the ability to critically think would level the playing field, you know, because they would go out and seek knowledge and the power differential that's been created through people's ignorance would disappear practically overnight if that were the case. And that's the answer to the question of why occult knowledge? Why hide it? Well, it's hidden because it's hidden deliberately, because it hiding it, or to dissuade people from looking into it and to remain ignorant, creates a power differential between the people who hold that knowledge and those who are ignorant of it. It's just a simple logical conclusion. Knowledgeable people around other ignorant people are always going to come out on top. Always. Always. You know, so to briefly go back to what occult knowledge is, of course, you know, we already talked about the first half of it, that it's the knowledge of the human psyche. It's ancient psychology and how our motivations and desires and, you know, the whole mind works in general. Well, what's the second part of the occult, the other half? The other half of it is it's the physical sciences, how the actual laws of matter that govern matter work. And then part of the what you might call the macrocosmic side of occulted knowledge, again, the psyche, the knowledge of individuated consciousness and how that functions, is the what you might call the microcosmic realm of the occult. That's the knowledge of the small things, the individual units of consciousness. Then you have the macrocosmic realm. And that's the physical sciences comprise part of that. And then natural law comprises the rest of the macrocosmic sciences. And when I say natural law, I mean it is the laws which operate in the realm of the unseen that govern behavior. They don't just govern material things. They govern action that we take, that we enact through free will. The behaviors that we enact through free will are ultimately governed. And if we do certain behaviors, we choose a behavior through our free will, and we do certain things, we get a specific set of results. If we do the opposite of those things, of course, we're going to get a different set of results. Again, these are the laws of attraction. Okay? So if we behave in a moral capacity, we get one set of results. And that's called that our whole society, and I say when I say if we behave in a moral capacity, I mean the aggregate numbers of human beings in any given society, the masses of people. If they behave in a moral capacity through their free will, then they get something in return. It's called freedom. Conversely, if the aggregate numbers of people in any given society behave immorally and choose wrong actions over right actions, then they receive a specific result called enslavement. That's how the laws of morality function. That's how natural law works. It's a simple law. I call it the law of freedom. As moral behavior within a society increases, the freedom of that society increases. As immoral behavior of any given society increases, the enslavement of that society increases. Invariably, all the time it works that way. Everywhere in the universe. And many people will refuse to accept that these laws are in operation because they want to believe erroneously that man is God, man's the highest force in creation. We get to make up what law is. There are no laws that govern us. No, no, no. None that we didn't make up and write down on a piece of paper or in a book somewhere. No, no. Those laws can govern us somehow. But there's no cosmic laws or universal laws that govern us, the decisions that we make through our free will. No. All the planets, their motions are governed. All the stars, their motions are governed. The nebulae in the universe, you know, all of the galaxies, okay, the superclusters of galaxies in the universe, they're all governed by physical laws. But there's this one thing in all of creation that isn't governed by law. It's called human beings. Yeah. That's how it works, don't you know? You know what that's called? That's
making the right choice.
That's called man is God thinking. We get to decide that we're not governed by anything. Absolutely nothing governs our behavior. Yeah. Okay. Well, like I say, keep accepting that and keep suffering. Let's see what level of suffering this takes humanity to. Good luck. That's what I tell people. When they don't want to accept that natural law exists, all I say is good luck getting what you've been getting. It'll never change, ever. It's impossible. Cannot ever be done. And get as angry about that, say, no, it isn't that way, all you want. It's like screaming at the sky, I refuse to accept that gravity exists. See, you're a lunatic. You're a crazy person, you know? Say that all you want. It will never make it untrue. You're bound by the laws of gravity, the end. Get over it. Good luck with that. You know, that's all I tell people. I'm not going to get upset that somebody doesn't want to acknowledge that natural law exists, that there are laws that govern the consequences of human behavioral decision, the decisions that we make and the behaviors that we take. We get a certain result, and then we do something different, we get a different result. You don't want to accept that that exists, good luck. Good luck. The problem is, unfortunately, you know, that the people who insist on remaining ignorant of those laws are, in fact, affecting the well-being of other people. Because through their ignorance, they, as a collective, in that level of ignorance, they're driving an entire species off a cliff. And at some level, they don't have that right to do that, you know? Again, it's this idea, do you have a right to ignore reality? Yes, you do. Well, do you have a right to ignore reality without consequence? No, you do not. That's where free will comes in. You know, there are consequences for what we accept and then what we do. And if we accept deception and lies and untruth, and then we base our behavior on that, and the behavior is immoral, we're going to get a specific result called slavery and suffering. And conversely, if we do understand how the laws of nature work, and we have that knowledge and understanding, and then we base our behavior on that truth, then that knowledge is going to come into alignment with morality, with the laws of morality, and we're going to receive quite a different result called freedom and order and peace and prosperity and harmony. But, you know, like I say, good luck with the idea that you can do whatever you want without consequence. No such thing. Never can be or ever will be any such thing. We have free will to choose our behaviors, but not without consequence. So I tell people this little catchphrase, respect existence or expect resistance. That means you need to bring your thoughts, emotions, and actions into alignment with the truth of what is, or expect more suffering, my friends. That's it. If you come into alignment with that which is, with the truth, the laws that are actually operating and that you are bound by in this three-dimensional construct called the universe, you will prosper. If you refuse to bring your thoughts, emotions, and actions into alignment with those laws, you will suffer. The end. And it will be like that for eternity because these are the laws that govern this universe. So you didn't make those laws, folks. You didn't make the laws by which the cosmos is governed. If you think that you have some control over that, you erroneously believe that you are God. You know? And that's where, unfortunately, that is how sick the human mind is, folks. This is how sick. This is our level of sickness and illness. We believe that we can magically act without consequence. That there are no consequences for immoral behaviors. Not that man's going to put into effect, but that creation itself puts into effect in our experience. Good luck believing that. The proof. Where's the proof of this, Mark? You know where the proof is? The current condition that we live in. There's the proof. All you need to do is open your eyes and look around you. The proof is exactly what we have received. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
To put it into perspective for listeners there, if you and I are standing in front of a cop and you smash me in the mouth, that cop's going to react. If you reach out and shake my hand and agree to be honorable and find a solution, that cop is going to respond. That's natural law. If you stand in honor, in defense of the truth, and doing all things in your life honorably, which I can speak to personally, then you'll be rewarded in kind. Action, honorable action, brings honorable results. If you're going to sit there on the couch and don't want to do anything or say anything about the corruption, one thing or another, whatever, then you can't expect that you'll get any positive benefit.
That's right.
And what you allow will continue.
There it is. And that's
so we
the
are
real
in this,
meaning
the
of
world
what
right
you
now
resist
is,
persists. That's the real meaning, what you just laid out there, of what you resist persists. It's actually the real spiritual teaching is that which has been manifesting as a result of that which you have been wrongly resisting is that which will continue to persist. I know that's a mouthful, but just think about it for a moment. It's exactly what you've just said.
Yeah.
Okay? If you're not doing anything about the current condition, don't expect it to change. Expect to continue to get the same condition. That which has been manifesting as a result of that which you have been wrongly resisting, meaning you've been wrongly resisting the truth and that it is your responsibility to change the situation. You've been resisting that. So for as long as you continue to resist that, expect the condition to continue to persist. That's the real teaching, not what you resist persists, which makes no sense. I'm sorry, continue.
Yeah, and I think on the global scale now, as we're seeing and witnessing, it calls to mind that one of your seminars, I don't know how old it was, but you said that you felt that you had a small bit of hope is what how people are reacting now and waking up, and I don't know how old that was, but now I'm seeing it more. And I find it sad that it's getting worse and worse, and now people are starting to come and wanting the knowledge. Albeit misguided as it is, in some cases, they are starting to want the knowledge.
Right.
That's
right.
All we have to do. As a species, it's all we have to do. And honor and knowledge. I don't like to quote the Bible a whole lot, but I know you do every now and again. But do one to others as you have them do one to you.
That's it.
That's what we need to move back towards.
Yeah.
On that note,
I often wonder, I just want to comment on the one thing you said there about hope and, you know, that people are coming on to this knowledge and wanting it. I agree. I see it. Okay? I offer this body of information to people, and I see more people coming online and wanting it, you know, actively having questions, actively saying, I want to know this. I want to know more. I want to go deeper into it. What I wonder often, and I don't have the answer to this question. I just throw it out there to the universe. I wonder if it's too little, too late. I don't know. Time will tell, as it does with all things. But, you know, I don't want to just blow smoke up people's rear end and say a mass awakening is happening either. People ask me, well, when would you say that a mass awakening?
Yeah, I don't like to do that New Age thing either.
Yeah. I'll tell you on the air, to your face, to a group of people, to anybody, that a mass awakening is occurring when I see these conditions present. This is my definition for a mass awakening. When there are so many people who will refuse to do the job of being an order follower, meaning that so many people will not do the job of a cop or a soldier, okay? Order followers. Let's be honest about what they are. That is what they are, okay? I don't care who that offends.
Well, I know a good few
that
are quick.
Job is. That's what their behavioral actions are to do. Regardless of what you want to think it is, or anybody wants to think it is, the job of those controlling institutions is to follow the orders of what they have been told to do. Now, when enough people say, I will not act in the capacity of order follower under any circumstances, no matter how much I am paid or no matter what the external circumstances in the world happen to be, when so many people refuse that work, to do that dark work of following orders, okay, because that's what it is. It is the dark work. The dark great work is to follow the orders of someone else, not know definitively the difference between right and wrong behavior for yourself, and then willfully, through your free will, choose the right action over the wrong action, which is not what cops or military do, if we're being honest with ourselves. Which most people are not. Again, they lie.
Well, that's what I've been doing with your the seminar that you gave with the cops and the military being used as pawns and mocked by the elites.
Right. Yep.
Me and my networks have been recently sharing it through all the cop pages and military pages on Facebook.
Oh, like I said, if you think that people in the Truth and Freedom Movement deplore cops' behavior and don't like them personally, you haven't seen a thing. I mean, what their owners think of them. Somebody just drew a beautiful representative photo. This artist, I don't know, his name is some Latin American name or something to that effect, or possibly a Spanish name or an Italian name. I don't have it off the top of my head, but this artist drew this beautiful representation. It's a cop on all fours with a leash, a dog leash on, and a banker with a black top hat holding the leash firmly in his hand, laughing, sneering at the cop, and the cop's face is down in a dog bowl, and there's just dollar bills.
I shared it a couple of times myself, yeah.
You know, it's phenomenal. I mean, I just
pretty famous on Facebook.
Understanding of really what the position between these people really is. That's the actual truth of the dynamic interaction between these two types of human beings. And the cops that don't understand that, I feel sorry for you. That's exactly how they think of you, boys. Exactly. You are thought of as an animal pet that is on a leash, kept locked up until your owner is ready to take you out to piss on something. Okay? That's exactly how you're thought from their lips to my ears. I'm not telling you what my belief system is. I'm telling you what I heard them say in their presence, what I heard them speak in their presence when I worked in the dark occult. And that is exactly how they think of you. As their animals that they own. And you know what? It's not just how they think of you. It's true. It's the truth. That is the reality of the situation. So to go back to this little sidetrack I went on, I will tell people that a mass awakening is happening in humanity when this occurs. There are so many people that refuse to be order followers. That means they will not do the job of cop. They will not do the job of soldier at all for whatever amount of money is offered. When so many people refuse that, that these institutions themselves have to admit our ranks are hurting and suffering so bad that we cannot, no matter what we offer to people, get them to do this job anymore. That's when I'll tell you about
it. I mean, I see that happening. I see that happening with the people that I know here in my town. I know a couple of people that have retired from the RCMP, Canadian Royal Mounted Police. I know the stories that I've unfortunately come across that military committing suicide, but they always manage to find more money chasers.
As some go out, aren't there just people tripping over themselves, chomping at the bit to get into these institutions? You know it. You know they are. I mean, there are so many people in line to get into these institutions. They can't take them in fast enough. This is how ignorant humanity still is. We have to be honest about this. I mean, we have to be absolutely willing to look at the dynamic that's really taking place. are the vast majority of human beings refusing to participate in police, military, and government. The control institutions, the male dominator control institutions. Or are there people tripping over themselves who cannot get in line fast enough to wait on a waiting list to get into these institutions, regardless of the paltry pay they may even receive? They love it. They can't
get off
of it. They love it because it gives them some petty sense of illusory power over their fellow human beings, which is all a total illusion and a lie. That's where the mindset of this
is. So I have a question for you.
Yeah.
I have a question for you, but before you answer it, Chance has multiple emails there that he wants to come online and ask.
Sure.
And I got a feeling we're going to run over the time, because I have a feeling that Chance is overjoyed to do. Do you see any hope for those of us that are awake in doing this, any salvation or group? Do you have a group of people that all of us can go to?
Nope.
To...
Absolutely not. You know what the answer is? Everybody's looking for what people have called the White Lodge, or the Great White, or Light Brotherhood, or Sisterhood, or a group of human beings operating together in familial love and higher consciousness. You want to know where it is?
Well, that's why I tell everybody is to tear up your fucking birth certificate, cancel all contracts with them, declare your person deceased, and get on with your shit. Learn your rights. Learn how to protect yourself personally.
Right.
Not in
it's
groups.
An individual decision,
and
folks.
Do the best you can.
The answer is within,
yeah.
And it's where that group that people are looking for is it scattered to the four winds of the earth. It exists in isolated, tiny little pockets of light all over the planet. That aren't organized.
I know sovereigns that have their communities, and the government won't mess around with them. They grow their own food, have their own energy, all that other kind of stuff.
I don't think everybody has to be an island.
Doesn't mess with them.
I don't think everyone has to be a self-sustaining island unto themselves. I believe in community interaction. You know, I believe in people working together toward common goals, and enlightened self-interest amongst their own community. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, so it doesn't have to be everything.
But, I mean, there has to be some kind of salvation for us that are awake, that are actively doing this. And if we can't wake the rest of the people up.
That's the second part.
We
of
have
the
to get
right.
together in groups.
So there is no such thing. I don't feel there is any such thing. As the whole body of humanity will go, it will swallow the awake as well. That's why it's either success or failure. It's either awakening people, and if that can't be done, getting them to physically revolt at some point. You know, and if that isn't success,
that's what I said,
failure
to people,
for the whole species. And like I said, a physical revolt.
That's why I say on the thread.
Failure in and of itself, because that means revolution. That means you're going back around and you're going to have to try to get it right in consciousness another time. Just like the first American Revolution, you know, and then the War of 1812. You could say we're going around third time here on this land, you know, because we didn't really properly.
What do you think about
consciousness and education until it's properly accomplished through the great work? The great work is the elevation of the consciousness of our fellow man through proper education, of the existence and operation of natural law, and bringing our behavior willfully into alignment with those laws of creation. Until that can be done, humanity will continue to be enslaved. And there is no salvation for humanity until that great work is accomplished. And no one wants to hear that. They want to hear there's going to be an easy answer. The answer, the salvation, the solution is to get all people on this planet to understand the difference between right behavior and wrong behavior. Good luck. That is what we have to do. That's the great work, folks. That is the great work. Not my work, not just your work, everybody's work. That's the great work for all living, intelligent beings operating on this planet, that is the same work. And no one wants to hear that. It is the most highly unpopular thing to tell another human being, because what I'm telling everybody out there is everybody's collectivized education, the whole education of the entire species called humanity, is all of our collective responsibility. And no one wants to hear that. I try to tell people this.
So on that note,
other people's education is not my own responsibility. Bull. Bull.
Okay, so on that note, do you believe in the afterlife?
I believe that life is a
perpetual process. Are we just here, or are we going to die?
It has no beginning and no end. Of course, your consciousness is going to survive what we call physical death. There is no such thing as the end.
Yeah, my personal belief is, my personal belief is we're here to do this and try and make it not so hard on the physical, but
right.
I don't buy into that whole new age thing and everything else, right? Don't get me wrong, but we're here to learn.
Yep, that's what we're here for.
But we are energy, and you can't destroy energy.
Correct.
So we do go on, but right here, right now, we're here for a reason.
And see, everybody's looking for a different time and a different place and a salvation that doesn't involve us doing the work. Can't you hear that inherent in all these questions? I mean, am I wrong in my perception of that? But in all these questions, it's about how do we get out of this without actually having to elevate the consciousness of our fellow human beings? You know, are we going to go to some other place that's going to be better than this? This is what we're here to do now. Be in the present moment, in this place now, and stop thinking that this is less important than anywhere else. It's not. The physical world and the experiences that we gain in consciousness in the physical world through incarnating into this construct that we call physical reality matters. It's important. It is not to be looked at as less important than some spiritual construct or domain. You're in the spiritual domain right now. It's called the physical domain. They're one and the same, folks. You're in the physical domain. You're in the spiritual domain. There's no difference. We have to stop seeing them as separate. What happens in the physical domain is what is contributing and feeding back in a feedback mechanism and a feedback loop into the spiritual domain. It's the same thing. If you look at matter in high enough resolution or magnification, you're going to see it's just energy. It is energy at its foundation. This is the spiritual domain. You're not separate from it. You're in it now. So don't expect to go somewhere else. You are here, something here, or you wouldn't be here. Stop resisting what is. Stop resisting. See, that's what don't resist, or you're going to continue to get the same thing. That's what it means. And here's what the New Age movement is teaching people. Resist the physical. Resist what you are here to do in the physical world, which is the great work of elevating the consciousness of your fellow human beings. To bring them into alignment with natural law, to influence them to come into alignment, make that decision to understand that themselves. You can't do it for them, but you can influence them to do it. And that's why the great work is hated. It's hated. I'm telling you, I get emails from people telling me, how dare you tell me what my spiritual work is to do here on this planet? Because there is no difference in anybody's spiritual work to do here on this planet. We have come here to do one thing. End slavery. That's what we all came here to do. And some of us just remember that mission more than others.
Yeah. On that note, I have a couple of emails. Few emails actually building up now. Chance, you listening?
Oh, of course. I'm here with the network, so you know I'm listening every night in the background. Great to have you on, Mark.
Sorry about that, but Mark's as passionate as I am, so
it's great. great to get you on the show, Mark, and we're so glad you were able to get on the network, and I know that we were definitely looking to maybe try and get some sort of seminars going with you in the local area and get people out and sure. see some of these great nine-hour talks, and that's actually what our first email question was about. A caller or an emailer, it's actually really long, so I'm just going to sum it up and sure. get right to it. They're basically saying that they watched your video, and it's the three-part series on natural law, and you always reference natural law, and you kept bringing that up, and they're wondering if there is somewhere that they can read this book of natural law. Is it written down somewhere, or is this just a concept? And if it is a concept, could you just explain that?
Natural law is not written down. It has been attempted to be explained through writing by people, but there's no one book where it's not a man's written set of laws. Again, the concept of natural law is universal, non-man-made, meaning that these laws are like the law of gravity. That's like saying, what book can I understand the law of gravity through? Well, the law of gravity is understood through observation. The law of gravity is understood through testing it. The law of gravity is understood because it is actually in effect and can be observed. Well, that's how natural law is in effect. It's no different than the laws of gravity or any of the other physical laws of motion and dynamics or electromagnetism and thermodynamics, etc. It is a law that is a group of laws that is universal, non-man-made, meaning that they exist for as long as the universe exists, these set of laws. Is there anything human beings can do to nullify the law of gravity that is existent in creation, in the universe? Can human beings do anything to nullify that law? Impossible. It exists. The universe exists. Because the universe exists, that's why gravity exists. Okay? If you want to get to the causal factor of the law of gravity, you're going to have to get to the causal factor of why the universe exists. And when you understand that, you know, let me know. Okay? But all you can do while you're in the universe is accept that gravity exists. And then decide, because it exists, it's probably a smart idea not to walk off really high buildings, right off the edges of them. Because more likely than not, a negative consequence will occur. That's how natural law works. You want to understand how it operates so you don't do things that are completely unwise and in opposition to those laws, and you suffer as a result. So it's a universal, non-man-made, binding, and unchangeable condition that governs the consequences of the behavioral free will decisions that we choose. That's what natural law is. It's been called the laws of karma, the laws of morality, the laws of right and wrong, the laws of attraction, the laws of consequence or consequentialism, you know, karmic law, moral law. It doesn't matter what you call it, God's law. You can call it whatever you want. It's a label, folks. It's a label. What it is the body of laws that ultimately determine what happens in the human experience, really in the experience of any beings that are capable of grasping the knowledge of natural law. Okay, so I say that beings that are gifted with the capacity for intelligence to comprehend that these laws are in effect. That's who natural law affects. People will say, well, how don't these apply to the animal kingdom in the same way they apply to the human kingdom? To the human world. Well, they don't. Because you cannot explain the laws of morality to a tiger. Try all you want, but the tiger is not going to have the intellectual and intelligence capacity to grasp the true difference between right and wrong behavior because he's an animal and not a human being. Different level of consciousness, different construct of consciousness altogether, different level of complexification of consciousness. A human being is going to be bound to those laws because the human being has the capacity to grasp the difference between right behavior and wrong behavior. And those are not just judgments. They exist with actual real-world physical results and consequences in nature. If I strike you, damage is done to something that you own, your physical body. And I don't have the right to affect that because it does not belong to me. And that is measurable, and that is observable. It's not something that is subjective. People want to insist this is all subjective. No, it is not. It is objective with measurable results and consequences, and all the laws of scientific observation and testing apply when it comes to natural law. You can test it with the scientific methodology. It is not a belief system. It has nothing to do with belief or religion. It is a science. It is a science of spirituality. That's where these things are bridged. Natural law is the fulcrum at which science and spirituality are bridged. And it is a science that governs what happens when we take specific actions. And it is always in effect, and it is always working perfectly throughout every single aspect of creation. You can never escape it. You will never escape it. As long as your consciousness is extant in creation, natural law applies to you. And this is what the ego doesn't want to hear. The ego does not want to hear this, because the ego wants to be God, unbound by anything, and absolutely free to do whatever it will without consequence. That's what the ego wants. That's the demonic force that is existing within our unconsciousness. As a species, we think we're God. We think we're the maker of law. We think we're the maker of truth. Instead of law and truth being something that is already there for us to observe and understand and integrate into our lives and live in harmony with, live in non-opposition to, non-duality with. No, we don't want to hear that. We want to hear the ego is the most powerful force in all of creation, and you can do whatever you want without consequence. You know what that ideology is called, ladies and gentlemen? Satanism. That's the ideology of Satanism. And I'm not telling you I believe that's the ideology called Satanism. I'm telling you that's what it is, because I was a priest in that religion for 10 years of my life. Putting the ego up on a pedestal such that it is the ultimate force in creation, and nothing governs it. And it's just man. We're the highest power. There's nothing else here. We can get to decide to do whatever we want. We can make up laws. We can make up right and wrong. And we can act without consequence. That's called Satanism. And that's where most of us are at.
It's amazing.
Most of us are at.
Sorry. It's amazing the amount of information and how deep it all seems to go. We had another question that came in. And it says, could you please ask Mark to explain the balance that is missing and the need to have it and the need to take action?
Yes. There's two pillars to achieving the state of enlightenment, two overarching principles or tenets that need to be understood. And all of these, this form of gender that I'm going to get into, okay, exists within all of us. We all have a masculine component and a feminine component. And the laws of nature also have a masculine aspect and a feminine aspect. The principles that ultimately lead to coming into alignment with natural law and therefore becoming enlightened are the masculine principle and the feminine principle. Now, the feminine principle, some people get, and the masculine principle, some people don't get. And conversely, with other groups of people, they get the feminine principle, not the masculine, and the masculine, and not the feminine. Until we get all of that and achieve a level of balance between these principles, we're still going to be enslaved and never be free. Here's what these principles are. The sacred feminine principle is the principle of non-aggression. Do not commit violence against your fellow beings, any beings. Just if there's another animate being in your presence, don't commit violence. That means do not initiate coercive force against that being when you have absolutely no right to initiate that coercive force. So do not violate their inherent rights to remain unharmed. And this applies for animals and human beings and animals, okay? And again, it applies by human beings to animals. You can apply these rules to animals. Again, their level of consciousness is not our level of consciousness. Therefore, natural law is not going to apply to them. What we see playing out in the animal kingdom is not the natural order. Okay? You can call that the natural order for animals, but human beings are not involved in that dynamic. Different standards apply to human consciousness, applied by the universe, by universal law, because we have a different form of consciousness than animals. We are not the same as animals. to just say a human being is an animal is another ideological tenet of Satanism. Human beings are much more than just another animal. We are not just another animal. We are decidedly different than the rest of the animal kingdom in the form of consciousness that we are gifted with. Okay? So what we have to understand is this first principle of non-aggression is the first principle of enlightenment, the first pillar of enlightenment. Okay? So the second tenet or principle of enlightenment is the sacred masculine principle, the principle of self-defense. This is the masculine aspect or component within creation and within human consciousness. So that is when we are aggressed against, when someone has done something violent to us, we have a right to defend ourselves with the physical use of force. That doesn't mean you are initiating that force against anyone. You reserve the right to respond with the physical usage of force when someone else has initiated violence against you first. So again, if there is an attacker on the street, a mugger going up to somebody, and this doesn't mean attachment to a physical object. I'm going to use a physical object as an example. It doesn't mean have attachment to a physical object. That needs to be understood through discernment, okay? I have my wallet in my pocket. I walk out on the street, out in front of my home. I walk down the block, and then I'm accosted by a mugger with a switchblade knife. And he says, give me your wallet, or I'm going to cut you, and I'll kill you if you refuse to give it to me. Well, that's coercion, violence, and duress. Then if he comes at me and lunges at me with that knife, now a physical act of actual aggression and violence has been conducted. I already inherently possess the right to then take defensive action against that person. They have abdicated their right to remain unharmed at that point by taking that immoral behavior. And if I take out a 9mm, and put a hole in that person, I acted within right. And only one wrongdoing was committed, and it was by the other individual. And most people will insist that's not the case, especially man's law. The makers of man's law will say, oh, that's not necessarily the case. Yes, it is, at all times and places, 100% of the time. See, we are so utterly confused about the sacred masculine. Again, that's the component that's been left out. That's why we let these cops run unchecked in our society, looking at violence that they do, that if we saw another person do, we'd physically stop that other person from taking that behavior. And yet we won't do it when a cop does it. We believe they're magically gifted with some right that other people don't have. Everybody has the same rights. Every human being on this planet has the exact same rights. There are no special rights that some people magically have that other people don't have. If you believe that, you are under mind control. Mind control. Okay? Every single human has the same exact rights. Everywhere. And the sacred masculine principle of self-defense has to be deeply integrated as just as much as the sacred feminine principle of non-aggression. Without that balance, we all only have a halfway understanding of what it means to understand true spirituality, true enlightenment. There's nothing enlightened about sitting back and letting violent aggressors have their way. You know, I'm a non-aggressionist. Oh, yeah, I'm for peace, but I'm no pacifist, ladies and gentlemen. Pacifism is a deplorable ideology that means that there's no real self-respect present in the individual. If you are a pacifist, you don't have any real self-respect at all, at all. Because if you would let violence be conducted against you or other people unchecked, you're a participant in that violence. You're tacitly agreeing that that's okay. I don't care what you say. Words can leave your mouth all they want. You can say, no, I don't agree with this. No, I don't agree with this. Unless you're willing to actually take action against violence when it's conducted, you're a participant in it. Get as offended as that as you want. You are a participant if you let violence run unchecked. And that's where humanity's at. We're letting it run unchecked. Totally run unchecked. Because we don't understand the difference between non-aggression and the ideology called pacifism. which is I will never take any physical action regardless of how much violence is being conducted in my presence. There's nothing enlightened in pacifism. Zero. There's no enlightenment in pacifism. Non-aggression combined with self-defense principles is total enlightenment. Total enlightenment. The non-aggression principle wedded inseparably to the sacred masculine principle of self-defense. That's where enlightenment is found, in that balance. That's the balance that humanity needs to achieve.
Unbelievable the amount that you could go for just hours in every direction of how much there is to fundamentally learn and how we've been deceived to this point. It looks like our toll-free line has gone down. We've lost Will. We've lost Sam, and I can't really take an incoming call without Skype crashing, and I don't want to lose you.
It's not a problem. I mean, I understand technical glitches. They happen. I understand that better than most people. I work in, you know, in general in the technological sector or industry, I guess you could say. But so I guess, you know, I'll just try to wrap things up. We're coming up to, I guess, the end of the show at 10 anyway. Instead of going over, I'll just, you know, write out the last few minutes and just, you know, wrap things up and tell people where they can find more out about my work if they want to go further into this understanding. And if you have any questions, just go ahead and fire away, you know.
I definitely would love to know where I could – do you have a book or anything that I could read further?
Funny, you should mention that because I am attempting to make that occur, and I am working with an editor currently. And this is the first time I've ever told anybody that.
Oh,
so,
awesome.
It was announced right here on the show since you asked. I'm going to probably talk about this a little bit on my own radio show this weekend on Saturday night. But I do not have a book currently, but I am working to make that happen, possibly a series of books, possibly more than one volume. But we'll take it one step at a time and work on this first one first. So that is in the works, and I'm glad to be able to say that that's in the works right now.
Awesome.
I'm really excited
Some
about
Some breaking
that.
News right here yes. on the show. And you basically
the reason I drag my heels on that, just to let the listening audience know, is because writing is not my real preferred medium. I think I do it pretty well, and I can express myself in that medium well, but I prefer the spoken word, as I think people can hear. The spoken word is my preferred medium, and I think it translates the best in deep understanding, as far as I'm concerned. That is not to take emphasis off book knowledge. Absolutely not, okay? It's very, very, very important to own and read books and share them and preserve them, okay? But I like the flowing medium of the spoken word, where you could dynamically interact with others through speech and clarify ideas, whereas the written word is kind of, quote-unquote, set in stone or set on the page, which is why I feel that the spoken word is more powerful in energy, and ultimately really a dynamic presentation format with visuals is, to me, the ultimate, which is what I really prefer. And if you could do that with a, you know, dynamic question and answer session there, I think people get the most value and understanding in that capacity. And there are people who will debate that, but that's my take on different forms of media. I see I personally see the written word as the coolest form, and the in-person presented spoken word with visual assistance and dynamic interaction is the hottest form of media that has the capacity to make the most impact. Personally, that is my personal take on that. And I recognize people will disagree, and there are also people who learn in different ways. But my preferred method of learning and teaching is through the spoken word. So that's just my take on that, and that's why I've dragged my heels on getting a book out. But I'm eventually going to make that occur with some other individual's assistance. So I can say that that was
definitely awesome to look forward to. I'm one of those people that love to have a book in their hand and kind
sure.
of reference back to it and all that. Speaking of kind of talking with people and that, I know Mark Fanjoy, who we work with and has a show on the network and does the Canada Nation thing, he really wanted to try and connect with you on getting maybe a seminar out in Ontario where you could come out and do the question and answer in one of your long talks. So
sure.
Hopefully you're able to connect with him on that. I know that he's actually listening right now, and I keep getting
just tell
whoever
to get in touch, and we'll try to make something happen. Even if we can't do it in a physical way, maybe we could do a webinar or something like that.
Awesome.
You know, there's all kinds of possibilities.
We're living in a technological age.
There's lots of different venues and media that we can employ. So, absolutely.
Yeah, we seem to have a lot of the technology going on. So, could you give out to anybody, you mentioned your show, any of the information, how people can listen to you,
and
any websites?
Yes. My name is Mark Passio, P-A-S-S-I-O. My website is whatonearthishappening.com. Once again, that's whatonearthishappening.com. Lots of information up there. You can go deeply into my body of work and all my materials, a big video section. But I highly recommend always to people, if you want to get the most value out of the work that's up there on that site, go to the podcast section, podcasts. Okay, start, go back to number one and listen forward in order at your own pace without skipping around. That's the best way you're going to get the maximum value out of that site. Is that a big investment of time and attention? Oh, you better believe that it is. That's hundreds of hours worth of material. But if you are willing to invest that time and attention, you're going to get a rich result on the other end of that investment of time and attention. It's going to be a big payoff on the other end for the knowledge that you're going to accrue, okay? So whatonearthishappening.com, I highly recommend starting with the podcasts. You can listen to me live every Saturday evening from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern Time on the Republic Broadcasting Network, our republicbroadcasting.org. Republicbroadcasting.org is the network's website. So I do my own show there on a weekly basis, 3 hours every Saturday, and I also take calls on that show. So, you know, you could call in and ask questions and, you know, get, you know, information clarified if you need clarification on any particular concept or idea that I introduce. So that's my website, whatonearthishappening.com. I hope people will check it out, and I want to thank everybody involved in this broadcast for presenting the opportunity for me to present these this information in this forum. Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic info. I'll say goodbye to you right after I play this short outro clip. And I would like to thank you from the network and everyone that was here tonight, Will and Sam, who got dropped and lost in the technology world. Just thanks you so much that you were able to come on and share some of this info, and hopefully be able to work with you again in the future. So just play this quick intro, and then I'll say goodbye to you when we get off air. But thanks again for coming on.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for all the work you guys do as well.
Thanks. Good night, everybody.